ذات رجال معروفة فيها كل قدم صالح واللي تغى كي ترز فيها.
What you are going to listen to is an interview to Clara Meister, Berlin-based curator, co-founder and editor of Ment Journal, founding member of Soundfair.net. We are at the Palais Badie in Marrakesh, where she curates the fifth Marrakesh Biennale performative program, Singing Maps and Underlying Melodies.
The project Singing Maps and Underlying Melodies is commissioned by the Marrakesh Biennial in 2014 with the question, where are we now? And when I came here exactly a year ago, I was fascinated by the role that music plays in Marrakesh and Morocco, not only in the social life and cultural life, but also everyday life. I quickly decided that I would like to do performances which are really in the city, which take place not in the venues or institutions, but which invite the visitors into the city. So the idea is also to lure all the visitors of the biennial into parts of the Medina, mainly, to kind of get lost and experience situations that they might not encounter when only visiting the biennial. For example, yesterday we were walking with a poet who is writing poetry on Marrakesh, on Arabic and Berber. We were walking with him through the Medina and the souks. So it's very crowded, and we did a little tour from one venue to the other, which was very beautiful because all the Moroccan people react very, very strongly to him, and they echoed him, and they asked him questions, and they became like his choir. And today we have a performance with 13 marching musicians in the Kasbah, a part which is an old part of the town where there are mostly only residents. So we will be walking through a part where you would normally not go. So it's also to be surprised by the city and to be not on routes that a tourist normally would take. It's an introduction to the city, but it's introduction to the Moroccan music. We were working with this architecture group STIF, which is based in Berlin, and they were working on a map which is basically a map combined of all maps they could find, and another map which is zooming into the city, into the Medina, which is much more detailed, which has all the venues where we would like to lead the people. So the idea is also, because there are no street names as such in the Medina, or at least you cannot find them if you ask for them, that we wanted to really stage and make, invent locations which we find important. And we were playing with the way we experience the Marrakesh people to orientate in their own city, which is very much on visual memory and narratives. So all the places that we chose, we gave them a different name. For example, one of the places is called A Peaceful Rose and Pass Harbors a Silent Village in a City. So it's a mixture between visual recognition points, but also this kind of more poetic narrative that we encountered here a lot. What was important to us as well is to kind of mark the places that we find, which we find interesting, to that they tell something about the city. So we have concerts which are inside, which are outside in residential areas, which are outside in market areas. So it's also a different atmosphere, a different acoustic surrounding as well. And we mark all these places with the names that we invented for them with chalk on the wall, so it becomes like a street name somehow, which is though based on the narrative that they would orientate.
This narrative device to write on the wall to claim the music back in the streets is less neutral and simple than one could ever expect at the first sight at the Jemaa Elfna Square, where to perform, whatever, you just occupy a corner and here it is a stage.
So to play at the main square Jmal Efna is less complicated, but to play in the streets actually is something which is very unusual. And it's interesting because first the musicians were kind of careful to do that. They wanted a letter from the king, they wanted the authorizations and everything, which we of course understand and also wanted to meet these requests. So the music is on the one side very present, but then in public life it really has its very specific places. Another example would be, for example, that women cannot perform in public places. The women choir we are working with, they will perform in a courtyard of a cultural center. So there are all these dynamics and structures which you have to get to know once you're in the city and work with the musicians.
Since 2009, Clara Meister has been committed to the investigation of possible ways of exhibiting music in order to make it be understood as an artwork, being her interest in the more performative dimension of the relationship between the musician and the listener. That is what she's been investigating through the soundfair.net platform.
Well, with Soundfair, it was much more linked to musical performance which took place in art context. So that was the moment where there was a twist, a special situation for the musicians and also the listeners, where we hoped to create a different understanding of music. Here, what differs a lot is that it's not an art space, but it's a public space. Of course, the experience with Soundfair helped a lot through working with musicians. I think giving them a lot of space is very important because they have their very own understanding of music and staging, which I don't want to disturb in a way. I also want to be surprised by their suggestions. Through my work with Soundfair, I like this idea that music really is like a language. To me, this is also a concept that I carried through my curatorial year and at Ludlow 38 at Goethe Institute, where I was working with different translation steps and languages. So if I consider music as a language, I find it very beautiful how this is spoken here in many, many different ways, because sometimes people don't speak Arabic or the Moroccan Arabic or Berber or French, but they still attend, and it's a language that they all speak in a way. And this was also which was interesting for us when we were working with the locations and the writings, to include as much writing and language as possible. So we are writing actually in three alphabets, which is the Tifinagh from the Berbers, the Arabic, French and English. Also, when Hisham Khalidi, the curator of the main exhibition, invited me, he actually just invited me to do performances connecting all the different venues. And then I very quickly decided that I would like to work with musicians and not with visual artists in that way. First, because I thought there are enough visual artists in his program. But to me, it was very visible that the musicians here are considered as real artists in a very different way than in the Western context that I worked with, where it's more artist and musician. You know, we kind of more separate all these disciplines. And here the musicians are really true artists, and I found that very beautiful also to present them like the artists in the city. This idea with kind of letting go of visual strategy was the idea to invite musicians to really rely and trust on their acoustic and musical components. But of course, I'm very aware that music, I mean, for me, music really is art, as all musicians for me are really, like, I consider them also almost as visual artists. It's because when I close my eyes, my head is full of images. They change the surrounding wherever they play. It becomes, can become filmic, narrative. So there's always visuals implied in performing music. The invitation that we had with Soundfair is that the visual artists, which are not musicians in that case, work trying not to stage, in a way, a second level of visual information, but rely on the acoustic information the music has and on the relations it establishes with the musicians and the listeners and its surrounding. Of course, here in Marrakesh, it's very different because, I mean, there's so much going on, so much colors, movements, and also other sounds. I mean, the performance that we have in public spaces there, it's very noisy, and there are motorcycles and donkeys and so many things happening at the same time, people asking questions all the time, kids running around. But it still changes a lot of the atmosphere the moment the performance starts. And I think if we go back to the question of the biennial, where are we now? I think it's very interesting because to me there it's a very direct way to answer this, because a musical performance really places you in the right here and right now. We are right here with the musician experiencing his music, and we are right here at this place, which has changed through his music. You start looking around, you start understanding things differently.
And for sure, music is not just about the right ear and the right now, especially in cultures where orality is still very important as a vehicle of knowledge. The attention paid to this dimension of sound in this Biennale is very interesting.
على فن الدقال المراكشية طلعت تقول كلامها والدخله تفوت في الزعلامة ويدوروا من حومة لحومة وما تخلي الناس مديومة.
I have the feeling that a lot of history and cultural knowledge is transported through music as well, and a lot of, especially in the culture of the Berbers, a lot of history and knowledge is not transcribed and archived, but it's really narrated, so it's lived history. And there is this Moroccan studio, Kamar Studio, with which we worked with for these performances, which were the first ones actually to archive and transcribe all this music. Also, as I said, not inviting visual artists by musicians is paying respect to this fact of the oral tradition that they have in this country. I think that Hisham Khalidi put such a focus on sound works is also due to his, like, curatorial vita, so to say. And this is also where we met, because we're both very interested in this kind of works and I think the situation that it creates, because to me at least it deepens the encounter you have with the culture and the space somehow, especially when it's live. And I think that is something that he really wanted, and that is something we also want to get alive with this project, to really invite into the music and open up to all these different styles of music that you have here as well, which is, I mean, there's so much living next to each other in, as we said, languages, but and also styles and where it's performed, or it's, if it's spiritual, religious, social, if it's just, you know, enjoyable. There's so much different music going on which we would not hear otherwise.
Going back to music, whether a language or a form of art, some questions are central to Maestro's practice. How to curate music, how to exhibit music and foster its performative nature, how to speak about music in the art frame, and where is the threshold between music and sound art?
To me, it's very different thinking about sound art or music in an art context. Sound art, to me, has a different narrative and sometimes works less direct with the listeners in a more abstract way. What I find interesting is when you get people who spend a lot of time, for example, on a video or on a painting or a photograph that they don't understand, and but they have the feeling, oh, it's art, you know, I try to let go and I'm trying to, you know, switch on my brain. And I find it interesting to kind of use this attraction and attention towards visual art, because it's just placed in the framing of a museum or a gallery, for example, towards music, what happens there. And I think it changes a lot in the understanding of music. But what is so beautiful with music is that it, to me, really, it's a language that we all know without learning. It touches you in a very direct way, probably because it's very spatial, it's very emotional, and there's often, with the presence of the performer, there's a relationship established so fast that you cannot really withdraw from this. I think it's very interesting what happens in the art context if you kind of have little moments of irritation that you then kind of need to overcome and then, you know, let go another in another performance or musical experience. And with this moment of irritation, maybe there's a project of Sound Fair that I could shortly explain a little bit better, which is called Solo, which I did with Thomas Meyer and Ari Benjamin Myers. And the idea is to put a listener and an opera singer in a little space, and there's a song which is only performed one-to-one. So it's only the opera singer and the listener. A lot of irritation is happening there because actually the voice of an opera singer is much more an object. So it's like far away and, you know, you don't hear the grain of the voice and, you know, what the human side is kind of, you know, trained so well that you sometimes don't really hear it any longer. So that was very interesting what happens there also, because the presence is so strong and the sound of the voice is so intense. And also because it's this woman who's normally on stage, this perfect figure in a way. And then she comes very close to you and she whispers and she's addressing you directly. So that was very, like, playing with these formats is very interesting. I think what happens in the Medina right now with the musicians is a little bit the same, because they are irritated by the way where they play, because this is what they where they normally wouldn't play. But they were very thankful for playing. I was also not aware of how special it is for them to play in all these different places. And also all the residents, so to say, or passers-by who attended the concerts had a very curious reaction to it, because they didn't understand what's happening, like why. They know, for example, if there's a wedding or a funeral, they can read this music, but suddenly there's music that they know maybe, but it's in a context they cannot place. But it was really encountered with a lot of curiosity, which I found so beautiful here.